As we stand, let's pray. Speak, O Lord, and help us to hear. Open our minds and open our hearts to hear your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Please take a seat. If you want to grab a Bible, I'll be speaking from Psalm 81, as was read earlier, and this is on page 552 of the Old Testament. It's 552, Psalm 81. Have you ever had the experience where any help or advice you have given has completely fallen on deaf ears? I personally experience that daily. I have four teenage children, and it's amazing how much advice that I would offer about situations is just simply wrong. I just simply don't really understand the world that they live in. Therefore, they don't listen to me. Does that sound familiar? Has that ever happened to you? But of course, it always happens to me. I'm never the one who doesn't listen. Or am I? Of course, we are. A lot of us don't like being told what to do. One situation was coming to mind for me was once when I was building and putting up kitchen units in our house. Suzanne did offer some help and advice at the beginning and said, perhaps before I started, I should read the instructions. However, what do I need instructions for? Ha! Any idiot can do this. Well, except for this idiot. I try as I might, I couldn't quite get the brackets to fit, and I ended up drilling numerous holes in the wall, and it just didn't work. In the end, I abandoned it, threw myself in a chair, and told Suzanne that if the units weren't quite level, it didn't really matter. At which point, her response was that if I had read the instructions, I would have found there was a pre-drawn template, which, used, if you use it, puts up the units perfectly, apparently. It would have saved me an awful lot of time and an awful lot of filler, which I used to plug all the holes that I had made with my drill. We often do not listen to people who know best, even though we love them and we trust them, and then we do things our own way. This psalm, Psalm 81, looks precisely at this issue. The people, the Israelites specifically, not listening to God. The psalm is a fairly unusual psalm. It starts off as a hymn of praise and then moves from a hymn of praise into a prophetic hymn looking forward to what will happen and finishes off with a sad lament at the end. It starts with rejoicing though. Give thanks to God. These verses are a series of instructions to God's people about how, when, and why they must worship God. So, verse 1 and 2. How? Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Shout, sound the tambourine and the sweet lyre with the harp. Shouting, singing, praising with music. God here gives a model for how he wants the Israelites to praise and worship him. But when should this happen? When should this occur? Verse 3, blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, and on our festal days. Effectively, this means our special feast days, the beginning and the ends of the month, times when the people met together to remember what God has done. And they should praise him at those points with song, with shouting, and with music. But why does this need to happen? What's this man's way of giving praise to God? No, verse 4 and 5 tell us a bit more. For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance for the God of Jacob. He made a decree for Joseph, when he went out over the land of Egypt. It is a statute. It is an ordinance. It is a requirement from God. He requires their praise and worship. So when did this become a requirement? Verse 5 tells us, he made a decree in Joseph when he went out of Egypt. When God saved them and brought them out of Egypt, he made a decree. In this passage, Joseph here is referring to the Israelites who've just come out of Egypt, where Joseph led them. So God is telling the people to worship, not because they felt like it, but because he expected them to do it. It is a decree. I want to stop there for a moment and get us to think. How often is our worship based on how we feel and not to do with who God is and what he has done for us? How often do we arrive at church and don't feel like worshipping? Here, he's calling the Israelites to do it because it's a thing they must do to give him praise and thanks for what he has done. The psalm then moves on. It moves on to remember what God has done for the people. Verses 5b to 8. I hear a voice I had not known. I relieve your shoulders of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called and I rescued you. I answered you in the secret places of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. I hear, O people, while I admonish you. Here God is laying out what he's done for them. He called them out of Egypt. He heard their cries. He rescued them. He spoke to them. He guided them. And the picture of the thunder in this passage makes us think about the time when Moses met God on Sinai, and there was a covenant that God established with them through the Ten Commandments, or guiding them in the wilderness. God even reminds them of how they grew through his testing and admonishing. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O people, while I admonish you. He reminds his people of what he's done for them. God is saying here, you must worship me because I am your God who saved you, and you need to worship me. Then follows really the first of God's plaintive heart cries. You can hear God crying out in this psalm, almost as the anguish of a parent. O Israel, if you would have but listened to me, there shall be no strange gods amongst you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and opened your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Verses 9 and 10. Here God is simply saying, I am your God and I will provide everything you need. Don't go chasing after other gods. Don't go putting trust in yourself. Don't go putting trust in the things that you made by your hand. Trust me and listen to me. He does this by reminding them of the Ten Commandments. He's taking them back in this with verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. He's reminding them of the first of the commandments in Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2. He takes them back to that moment. This psalm will transport the listeners and the readers back to that moment when he called them and he established a covenant with them. He reminds them that they need to listen to him and obey him because he is the God of their past and he also is the God of their future, giving a glimpse of how he would love to bless them. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. So, having rejoiced and having remembered, the psalm now turns to reality, both current and future, for the people of Israel. This is where the psalm starts to become a prophetic oracle of what Israel is and will experience. Verse 11 and 12. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. This is the second lament from God. Despite what God has done and will do for Israel, they do not listen. They fail the test. They do not submit to God and worship and follow him as they should and must. They shut their ears. They trust in themselves over God. So God lets them have their way. He sends them off, despite what he's done. Does that resonate with you, of us who are parents? We love our children so much. We want the best for them. But when they reject our advice, our faith, our ways of living, it hurts. We could demand it. We could, in some cases, force them to see it our way and say, no, no, you must do it this way. But because we love them, we let them go. We let them make their own decisions and discover it for themselves. This is what God is saying here. I love you. Even though I know it's not best for you, I will let you go. But it hurts so much. There's a final sting in the tail, or a final message to the Israelites here. The last part of the psalm is a if only statement. Here God is laying out what would happen if only they had listened to him. Verse 13, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways, then I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their doom would last forever. I would feed them from finest wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. They would live in the Lord's protection. They would have a rich blessing, where the picture of honey flowing from the rock is like water from a cliff. It's a glimpse of what life could be like, if only they had listened. It is again where the parent is saying, I know best, and I could have saved you pain, if only you had listened to me. If only. So how does this psalm of blocked ears, of regret, of God saying, if only, relate to us? I think there's a lot to learn, be it from our approach or a reason for worship. So it's not from our personal me stance, because it's God who wants our praise and worship, perhaps. Or there could be lessons about how we should remember what God has done for us in sending Jesus every time we meet and every day that we get up. But I think the real message of this passage, the one that I want to focus on, is verse 13. Oh, that my people would listen to me and that Israel would walk in my ways. How often have we not listened to God and walked in his ways? This psalm is written corporately to the people of Israel. It also has an individual part to it. Because we read it as individuals and it speaks to us, it also is God's message to the Israelite people. So we have to read it personally and corporately. So personally and corporately, what are the choices we have often made? Have they been driven by God and his ways and what he wants for us? Or have they been driven by the counsel of our own stubborn hearts? We have determined it. He has not. This is a message to us and the church. Have we as a church not listened to God and walked our own path? I don't want us to leave here today feeling condemned that we haven't been doing good enough because we may not have been listening. I want us to be encouraged that we need to unblock our ears and start listening to God, because we want to do it and we want to discover what God wants for us individually and as a body. How do we unblock our ears and start listening? Here in the psalm, they did it through praise, through remembering the stories of what God has done, by crying out in prayer and to listening for God's response. This is what we need to do. We need to come to him in praise for what he has done in sending Jesus to die for each one of us. Through reading the Bible and learning from that, retelling our own stories of faith and our own journey, speaking and listening to God in prayer, and trusting God in our guidance, and testing everything that we think against, is this what God wants for us, or is this me? It's not an easy thing, because as a culture, we're not used to it. Speaking personally, we like talking more than we like listening. And even when we hear God, we sometimes don't like what he's saying to us. But we do need to practice this listening and obedience. As many of you may know, I run Thirsty. And as a leadership team, we have had a 5-year plan that we wrote about 6 years ago, deciding what's next and what we're planning to do in terms of development of Thirsty. We meet annually to review it, and last year we were coming to the end of our 5-year plan, so we were deciding what's next. We felt that God was telling us to not plan anything else, but to wait on him, to have no plans, but to wait. For somebody who likes to do lots of things, it was a very hard message. It was a very hard thing for me to unblock my ears and to hear. And in fact, when we first were praying through it, I could find 105 reasons why I didn't think it was a very good idea at all. However, my wife showed me how I really did need to listen to God. So over the past 10 months, we've waited. Doesn't mean we haven't done anything. We've done all kinds of things. But we've waited. And during that time, I would say that personally and corporately as a team and as Thirsty, we have grown so much. Because we have had to wait and we've had to listen and we've stopped doing things. We haven't, because we've carried on doing things. But instead of actually doing things that we think are a good idea, we're waiting to see what God wants. And he's led us into all kinds of things. We have learnt that God knows best. On TV, there's a program called Nanny Knows Best. In this problem, parents who have problem children consult a nanny who dispenses excellent advice. This psalm calls us to unblock our ears and listen to God, both in our personal lives and in our corporate lives. Because like that television program, God knows best. And we need to listen. So my prayer for us today, for our church, both here at St. Richard's and also nationally, is inspired by the words of verse 13. Oh, that my people should listen to God, and that you would walk in his ways. Let's pray.